Let's go, let's go, let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. The NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
It's not only training camp.
False start on the host.
False start.
Come on,
didn't hear
tempo.
My headphones. Didn't
go
hear
run a lap
headphones.
And get back to me
tempo,
when you're done.
Tempo, in and out of the break.
It's also August, officially. August 1st, 4 days of camp, 8 practices down. Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Therefore, most of the day's action, Paul, but Andy and I were here for the full day.
It's unbelievable.
Well, he's, you know, Bill will start to give those veteran days off at
that's,
some point
that's
next
a good
week.
Point. That's
Paul
a very
started
good
his
point.
Veteran days off this week.
And that's a very, very good point, Andy. But today, 2 full practices, full pads. Big news of the day, Wes Welker was back on the field, back in pads.
Wes, he
taking
was.
Taking part. Observations from you two on how he performed today.
Well, I thought in the morning session he looked as good as we saw in minicamp and took a similar approach to the workout where he did group individual drills but then did not take part in any of the one-on-one drills with DBs or any teamwork, but actually I thought worked harder than anyone on the field running routes with Director of Rehabilitation Joe Van Allen tethered to his back and just, you know, quick in and out of the routes, full speed, looked great. And then this afternoon, he kind of took part in everything, stayed with the team, ran some teamwork, caught passes.
It's good to see that progression from one practice to the next.
Same old story. He looks fine. He looks to, you know, he's kicking balls and no favoring of the knee. The only limitation that I can see is he's wearing a brace. And I think that gives a slight hint of a, I don't want to call it a limp because I don't believe it's a limp. I think it just changes your gait a bit to have one of those big Don Joy type bulky braces on there. But other than that, I think he's ready to play.
Yeah, I think at this point, really, it's going to be unchanged until we see him in contact. He's going to have to get tackled. And I think that might be the reason if they decide to play him in the preseason, maybe they want to get him just so that first tackle is
so he and everybody else can exhale and then move on?
That's really, I think it's going to be unchanged right now because I agree with Andy and Eric. I think that he's doing everything that everybody else is doing, and he looks the same as everybody else while doing it.
Now, I will say, he said he's not 100%.
Right. He spoke to reporters after the first practice.
Said he's not worried that he'll get the last, whatever it is,
10 to 20% of recovery
back.
That Belichick talked about being the most
He kind of poo-pooed that and said you'd have to ask him about that. But he's not worried. Whatever percent he's missing at this point, he said he's not in any way worried that he'll get it back. He's as confident as ever. And as I said, I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, I think he should be. I mean, he's basically at the sort of speed and level that we saw a couple of months ago when we surprisingly saw him show up for the OTAs and minicamp. It's a good sign, I think. I mean, it's obviously a great sign that they took him off the active PUP.
It means they have no fears because they've removed the net. He can now that means he can no longer start the season on PUP.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no fears that there's going to be some kind of question. They clearly have said he's healthy enough to be on our roster to start the year. We want him on our roster to start the year. Let's go to battle.
That's the good news of the day. On the not-so-good news is that now that we're starting to get deeper into training camp, the injuries are starting to pile up a little bit. For the past couple of days, there's been consistently about 10 guys who weren't dressed. Half of those were typically out on the field doing rehab-type stuff like Welker had been doing. But today we started to see a few more players added to that list. We had Jonathan Wilhite, cornerback, started the morning in full pads, but then quickly went to the exercise bike and was doing that for the rest of the day. Linebacker Thomas Williams was hurt in pre-stretching activities, doing some, some of the special teams type work that they do beforehand. He didn't show up for the second practice. Guard Stephen Neal was dressed for the whole first practice, but when they went to the team offense and team offense versus defense work, he was standing there, not really taking part. He was on the exercise bike for the second practice. And during that second practice, we saw what looked like it could have been a pretty ugly scene, Paul. Gary Guyton going down in a heap, not untouched. Yeah. Just kind of the way he planted awkwardly in pass coverage.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that sort of makes you worry, because we've seen a lot of those kinds of knee injuries. We started this whole thing talking about Welker. It's the same thing. It was no contact at all. He was dropping into coverage. He looked like he tried to stop as the receiver made his cut, and he just went down. Now, he was moving around. He got up quickly, was tended to by the trainers in between the fields, tried to do some jogging. He's clearly working on the left knee. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, be an alarmist and say this is a hugely serious injury, but it was one of those that does cause you to stop and take note of what's going on. And he didn't come back. You know,
he tried. He made an effort.
He tried a couple of times.
Tried to run it off, but
you know, Andy, I think you made the point. It doesn't make any sense for him to even be trying to get back out there at this stage of training camp. So, well, that's something we'll keep an eye on over the ensuing days, and hopefully that's nothing too serious. Mm.
So we'll keep an eye on that and all the other injured guys and the progress that they've made. Any trends that either of you guys have noticed at any particular positions? There's a lot of them that have a lot of competition, a lot of people fighting for jobs. Any sort of trends you're starting to notice, people standing out anywhere, either side of the ball?
I thought it was interesting today they did a lot of sub-packages that involved nickel and dime work. And at both levels, I thought it was interesting. Up front, Myron Pryor got a lot of reps as one of two defensive linemen on a line with Vince Wilfork, which I think is interesting, and especially because before they went to the two-man fronts, Gerard Warren and Damian Lewis were with Wilfork. They come off for the nickel and dime packages. Myron Pryor comes on. I think that's a good sign for his development from sort of the surprise guy last year to maybe carving out a long-term role for himself on this team.
Helps that Ron Brace's other competition from last year has been sidelined.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think
Brace would really be an option in those types of packages. I'm not sure he's athletic enough. Certainly not even as athletic.
But just from
as
a roster competition standpoint.
Sure, I think Brace sitting alone on the bikes down in the far end of the field while everything else goes on falls further behind in his career and becomes more of a potential disappointment. But looking at the secondary, it was interesting that Devin McCourty continues to get a lot of reps with Lee Bodden, opposite Lee Bodden, and then in a lot of the nickel and dime packages, Butler comes in, he goes in the slot, or at other times McGowan comes in as the third safety for kind of a bigger nickel. So I think it's interesting that you're kind of seeing three bodies at safety kind of develop, much to my chagrin, with James Sanders not being one of them, and three bodies at corner really developing, and it's Lee Bodden with the two youngsters, Butler and McCourty.
What have you spotted, Paul, that's stood out to you in these competitions?
Well, I love the rotations.
Nothing to add?
No, I love the rotations that Andy's talked about. And as usual, he's so long-winded, he doesn't leave me anything else to
no,
really
it's the
analyze.
Funniest thing you've said on one of these podcasts.
No, I don't really have much to add. but I do think that, you know, Andy wrote something this morning, and we talked about it,
it
this afternoon on the blog about the inside linebackers and the young guys that I thought was somewhat interesting and quite possibly could be accurate. Who knows? Andy sometimes just throws it out there. We've seen a lot
it's
of
true.
It's been Mayo and Guyton, and that's the way it's been since day one of OTAs that we've got
on and off
see.
The field.
The inseparable duo.
But we see other rotations are involving McKenzie and maybe Eric Alexander, and then Spikes and another, you know, Dane Fletcher or somebody else. But it hasn't been Spikes and McKenzie in the second group. And I think Andy brought up a point. And I noticed it in the afternoon after reading his blog post that perhaps Belichick is looking for those two guys to get a lot of reps as the Mike or at that you know that spot, so they can't be on the field together and get that same kind of experience. I thought that's you know an interesting trend. I watched it. Andy's also fixated on the rotation at wide receiver when they go through the drills.
I thought it was interesting this morning in particular. Welker's back out there. And in all the drills, probably four or five different drills, the top group fell in line. Moss was always first.
Mm-hmm.
Welker was always second. Edelman was always third. Tate was always fourth. And Aiken was always fifth, I think. Then it kind of, they lost their way after that. But not that I'm saying those are the top five wide receivers. I'm just saying they kind of almost fell into a natural hierarchy of, obviously the alpha dog is
Interesting
Moss.
That you didn't mention Torrey Holt.
No, he seemed to be down the chart a bit there in those drills. And from what I've seen in camp so far, doesn't get a lot of reps with Moss and Edelman and Welker and that hierarchy of wide receiver. It's kind of in that next grouping. I don't think he's been obviously terrible by any means, but he's done very little to stand out in my mind. Whereas I think guys like Price and Tate, even when they haven't done everything perfectly, have stood out, have made some plays. You've said, oh, there he is. He's showing up. I haven't seen Holt show up.
That might sound a little scary to people who remember last summer and Joey Galloway, and that sort of was the progression that was made. We hope that's not the case again this year with Torrey Holt, but we'll see.
And I just want to add one other thing, and not necessarily applicable today, although it was accurate today, but throughout camp, the offense is having a really tough time running the ball into the end zone or goal line. And it happened again this afternoon, and that was another thing that stuck out.
And it happened this morning. The Ben Jarvis Green Ellis tried to follow Dan Conley, got his big jumbo lineman in there, and you expect him to plow through. They got stuffed in the backfield. Then they tried play action off of that, and that got batted down. So far on the goal line, it's been, I don't know what the reps are.
The few times they've gotten it in, it's been throwing it. I don't think they've run it in a single time.
Actually, yeah, they have. Well, yesterday they did.
You know, as Eric and Andy are you know, quick to point out, I did not attend every practice, so I missed a rep.
But that's a good point that you bring up, because it segues nicely into the point I wanted to end this podcast with, which is going into this training camp, one of the top, I'd say, two stories or so of this team was the expected absence of Logan Mankins. And that story has really sort of taken a back seat, at least in the early stages of this camp. People have, you know, preoccupied with Brady speaking after not having talked most of the offseason. Welker's return.
Derek Burgess, no show.
The retirement yesterday of David Patton suddenly. So all of these things have sort of conspired, you know, unexpectedly to put the Mankins story on the back burner. And Nick Cashier, actually, who was the guy who filled in for him during the spring, talked on the first day of camp and then proceeded to get injured in the next practice, and we haven't seen him on the field or at all ever since. So you've got now, and with Steve Neal getting hurt earlier today, now you have both guard positions where there are reserve players getting a lot more reps than probably they would have expected at this point in camp. Just wanted to bring that up and get any thoughts
from either
of you
guys. You are, with Mankins and Cashier hurt, Neal added to the injury list, you're already down to your 4 and 5 guard, technically, on your depth chart. And then, as I said, when Connolly, who now becomes one of your starters at right guard, you know, working with the first group or Dan Copen at right guard, and Ryan Wendell at left, when he has to go play fullback, which he does because Thomas Williams wasn't out there, now you have Rich Ormberger in. You're potentially down to your 6th guard in what's supposed to be one-on-one goal line action. It's probably not a surprise. They're not punching the ball in. And, you know, if you're in the Mankins camp, you're probably following little blog reports out of Foxborough and saying, hey, they sure they don't want to pay me? How much further down the guard depth chart are we going to get before you guys get serious?
Yeah, and I would just throw in that it may sound like we're sort of blowing off the Mankins thing, like that was a huge deal and it's been on the back burner. Well, no, that's still an enormous issue. And the bad news is, Eric's right, it has kind of gotten knocked down to the third, fourth, or fifth on the list, because more issues have cropped up in the meantime, like Derek Burgess and like the inability to run the ball on the goal line and things like that. Brady's contract talk the other day was overall, I would say, positive, but still that's a glaring concern. So it's not that Mankins isn't a problem.
Right.
It's that there are other problems that have joined it and are more recent.
Right.
So there are some things to worry about.
And as usual, PFW.
A negative tone to end on. There's some things to worry about.
Well, but Team PFW is here to cover all of it.
You know, you need to worry about.
And I'm going with the young wide receivers look great.
Well, they
do. Some things to be excited about.
There are plenty of positives.
You know me. I try to end on a positive.
I like Taylor Price.
I think we all do so far. That's been a good development to these early days of camp, and we're just getting started. We've got a long way to go.
Moss is good, too.
Long way to go. It's only August 1st. Tomorrow, another set of two-a-days. We'll be there to cover all of that as well. So join us again tomorrow for another podcast.
Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.